to bless us.
Dear Lord God, we ask that thou wouldst send thy Holy Spirit upon me, that I would be able to explain this text. Lord, we also that the Holy Spirit would be of the congregation, that they would hear my stumbling words and that they would make sense of them and that this passage would move them to greater holiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my name is still Glenn Palmer, and I'm still an elder here at Ocean View Christian Reformed Church. Just a second. So the blue, if it's in blue, it's a direct quote from the scriptures. And if it's a black, these are sort of my thoughts. So just to review, so Jude 1 and 2, that's an introduction. And then verses 3 through 19, that's a whole list of the apostates who have snuck in. And he is now warning them and he's correcting them. And now we're going to be doing Jude 20 through 23, it says 24 there, it's my mistake, 2023, and we're going to talk about mercy. And when I originally began working on this sermon, I was using the NIV, and it has mercy. The New King James has mercy. NIV has it three times. New King James just has it once. So that's why there's a little difference. The first thing to do is if you look at Jude 3, you will see that it's very, very much linked to Jude 20. So in Jude 3, he says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." So in both cases, he talks about beloved. And Jude is a very compassionate. He doesn't say, "Hey, you know, I'm Christ the half-brother, you know, I was there." He's very, very compassionate, and he just says, "Hey, beloved." And it just shows one way to talk to the congregation. Don't lord it over other people. And so in verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up." So the first question is, if you're going to build something up, you need to have a foundation. And I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians 3:11, because this is beginning, it talks about the foundation. So 1 Corinthians 3:11. And the reason I ask you to turn in your Bibles is, I could put it up on the screen, but it's actually better if you look at it in your Bible, because sometimes I make typographical errors, and how easy it is to change on the screen, pretty easy. So I always encourage you to actually look it up in the scriptures and see what it has to say. So in 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So if you're going to build a foundation, you need to have, if you're going to build a building, you need to have a foundation, and the foundation is Jesus Christ. He is that ultimate foundation, and if you build on anything else, it's like a building on sand. And then if you want to turn to Ephesians 2:20, it's a slightly different, but basically the same. Ephesians 2:20 And there we read, Paul writes, having built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So this foundation that you're building, it's built on Christ, it's built on the apostles who gave the Word of God. And they're the ones that actually, you know, they're the ones that reported what happened. So it talks about a chief cornerstone. And what is a cornerstone? Well, a cornerstone is this first building, that's this first block that you put in. And if you work with a protractor, and let's say you get it pretty close, right? You're only, you know, you're 89 degrees vice 90. You're just a little bit. So if the side of the building is 200 feet, if you're 1 degree out, by the time you get down to 200 feet, you're actually off by 8 feet. And you think here, hey, I am right here, at, you know, I'm supposed to have this rectangle at 90 degrees, and if I just slightly turn it, does it make that much of a difference? And the answer clearly is yes. We talked about this morning in the Sunday school, you know, when if you don't understand the Trinity, you start beginning to have all these different ideas. And if you're off by 2 degrees, now that's really exaggerated, just so you can see it in PowerPoint. PowerPoint, you really can't see it, but you'd be off by 24 feet. So this cornerstone, this chief cornerstone, it's absolutely essential that you build on this chief cornerstone and you get aligned exactly right so that there's no issue. And so the cornerstone really determines the position of the building and everything that's built on it. So one thing you have to do is you have to build on the cornerstone, but then the next question is he says you have to build yourself up. So when you build yourself up, the question is, how do you do it? There is no magic pill. You cannot take I'm going to take a building this pill and swallow that, and all of a sudden you're a super Christian. It doesn't work that way. It's going to take work. Now, he doesn't specifically say how to build himself up, but he gives us an awful lot of hints, and he says, hey, look at the apostates, and they do all the evil. Well, if they're apostates and you're doing good, you should therefore be doing the good. So he says, live a holy life. Now that's real easy, isn't it? You're sanctified, you're justified. Hey, I'm a Christian, I should be able to live a holy life. I know at least in my life, this takes effort. This takes time to sort of live that holy life. The other thing to do is say that Jesus Christ is Lord. If he's Lord, then we need to be following his commandments. We can't say Jesus Christ is Lord and then wander off and not follow any of his commandments. In verse 11, we talked about Cain, how Cain did a wrong sacrifice. So one of the things you have to have is you have to have a good, right worship. You have to worship Christ correctly. Another one is to serve others. One of the apostates, they kept on saying is they want to build themselves up. No, you as a shepherd, you should be feeding the flock. You should not be eating the flock. There's a huge difference. And then be content. We talked about that last Sunday or two Sundays ago when we talked about, hey, are you really content or are you a grumbler? Are you a scoffer? Are you a mocker? Building yourselves up takes time. We have this expression saying that Rome wasn't built in a day. In the same way, you're not going to be instantaneously a Christian and be completely sanctified. Building yourself up takes time. So that's about building, and now we want to talk about the word yourselves. Yourselves is plural, and it's basically talking about the church. So what we're saying here is, as a church, we need to be building ourselves up. It's not an individual effort. You're not out there as a lone ranger. You need to be working together. And I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, and we're going to pick up in verse 22. Hebrews 10, verse 22. And if you look at it, we'll count all the different us's and we's and they, you know, us's and we's. It's very much, this building up is very much what you do in church. You don't come here in church as a lone ranger, but you work together with other people and you spur them on. You help each other out. So beginning in Hebrews 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, and not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as it is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So 10 times in these couple verses, it's the idea of us, ourselves, as here as a church, working together, helping each other out. And how do you do that? Small group fellowships, right? Talking to people. How are you really doing? Are you really doing okay? Working together as a body, and we should be spurring one another on. We should hold fast to the confession, our hope. So that's the plea here by Jude. There's obviously an individual work. You can't rely on the others to save you. You've got to do that building. You've got to build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, you need to do it with others. You need to work together. So back to Jude. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. So the holy faith is going to keep you holy. If you stay in that faith, you are going to keep yourself holy. The next part, it says here, praying in the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at Ephesians 6, verse 18. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians 6, verse 18. And there we read, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So you have praying, you have prayer, you've got supplication, you've got supplication. So four times he's talking about here about praying in the Spirit and being watchful. I get 2 points if I mention what my pastor said previously, and that proves to him that I actually was paying attention. So Reverend Kornilov had this great saying, and I've got a Bible I've had for like 40 years, and I have very, very little room, but this, I marked this down because I thought this was really key. Praying is sort of like flossing. We don't do it often enough, and we don't do it thoroughly enough. And what happens, the dentist always asks you, how have you been flossing? They know. And then when the Lord asks us, how have you praying been? He knows how you've praying been. They know. So I urge you to keep on praying. You know, flossing's supposed to be, right, daily event. Sometimes dentists say 2 times a day. So I encourage you to do your flossing and praying 2x a day. So John Calvin has this about praying with the Holy Spirit. He says that without the Holy Spirit, we become lazy. We just don't have that energy. We just don't, you know, we're just sort of there. He says we're not interested in spiritual things. And we heard that with a sermon with Jonathan Edwards, that, you know, you need that special light to become special and to become specially interested in the spiritual life. He says that if you do have the Spirit, then you're awake. You're raring to go. Praying isn't a chore. You do it with boldness. You can pray confidently. He says we're eager. And he says we can call on the Father Because he is our Father because of Christ. So with that Holy Spirit working in us, the question is, can you now pray vigorously? And the answer is absolutely. But if you don't have that Holy Spirit, you're not going to do any of that praying. So praying is absolutely essential to be in the Holy Spirit. Tozer says this, you can't pray in the Holy Spirit unless the Holy Spirit is living in you. So in other words, if you're not a believer, if the Holy Spirit isn't living within you, you can't really be praying. If you're not praying, that means you regard yourself as self-sufficient. And if you're self-sufficient, then you're saying God isn't needed. We come to the prayer all the time, praising God for who he is, thanking him for what he has done, asking him to forgive us of our sins, and requesting different things. So we have all these different things that we do when we pray, but if you're self-sufficient, if you're a self-made man, you worship your creator, i.e. yourself. And we shouldn't be like that. We should be praying diligently because we are not self-sufficient. Now, if you go to Jude 21, in Jude 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So if you look at it in verse 20, you're building in verse 21. 20, you're praying, and later on, you're looking for mercy. So you can build, you can pray, you can look for mercy, but all these are based on this, keep yourselves in the love of God. God loves us, and we need to stay in his love. And so this is the command in verses 20 and 21. And then it goes on to say, looking for mercy. If you're doing the machine's readings, you would have done the Leviticus 16 yesterday, and that was all about the Day of Atonement, and they talk about going into the mercy seat, or the atonement cover. But King James talks about the mercy seat. That's the seat where you go for your mercy and to take away the sins of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's your bumper sticker. It's only because of Jesus Christ's mercy that do we have any type of life and that we can live. If we don't have this mercy of Jesus Christ, then we're not going to have any hope. But when we flee to Christ, when we go to Christ and ask for mercy, he will give it. So it's looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Little practical application. The Lord shows us mercy by forgiving us of our sins. And my question to you is, how do you show mercy to others? We talk about this parable about the guy that had 10,000 talents. Some of the translations say it's $1 million. It's much more than that. When Alexander the Great left to conquer Greece, he brought with him 800 talents. And so when you see this 10,000 talents, this is way more. And so Christ has forgiven us of our 10,000 talents. My question is, how do we treat somebody? So on the way this morning, somebody swerved right in front of us, and I had to sort of jam on the brakes, okay? How long did that take? That guy, less than a second from his swerving, my jamming on the brakes. How about our sinning? Do we do it just for 1 second, or do we do it repeatedly through the day? And when we sin, if you look at the Ten Commandments, keeping, having no other gods before him, do we really do that 100%? So not having any graven images, having no other gods before us, keeping the Sabbath day, all these different things, we've been studying in Matthew and explaining that, you know, hey, if you even hate your brother, that's like committing murder. So if I would look at my own life, I would see, man, I've got all these sins, and these are repeated. Now, that guy that cut in front of me, he did it for 1 second, one time. And I look at myself and say, Lord, forgive me of all these sins, which are much more serious than me just getting, you know, somebody cutting in front of me. And then that one sin. So am I merciful to others, even though we have all these sins? I know in my life, the answer is no. I want to get back at that guy. Well, that's not a very Christian thing to do. And then it says, looking for mercy to our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is basically some high stakes. If you make a mistake here on the earth, like, hey, I went through class and I scored a C on my test. I should have done better, but you know what? That's done and passed. And so I don't graduate cum laude, but I do graduate from the class. Okay, and I can go on with my life. But the issue here is these are high stakes. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're condemned eternally to hell, or you can believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and live in heaven with him eternally. This is an eternal decision. These are pretty high stakes. Most of what we do here on this earth are low stakes. You know, in our normal routine life, if I forget to pay my bill on time, all right, I got a late fee, extra $10, it's done with. I can make that up. But if you get it wrong as far as looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ, this is eternal stakes. If you don't get this right, you are condemned to hell forever. So in Jude 20 and 21, we are talking about what you need to do. You need to keep the faith. You need to be building. You need to be praying. You need to be looking. Now, these next verses, 22 and 23, this is a different order, and this is going to now be talking about others. So the New King James Version has this in verse 22, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. Like, all right, what does making a distinction mean? The King James Version had, on some have compassion, making a difference. Like, I still don't understand. The Message says, go easy on those who hesitate in faith. And the New American Standard and the NIV and the ESV have, be merciful to those who doubt. So in this section here, we're going to be talking about three different groups of people. The first one is those who doubt. And the question is are they teachable? Are they reachable? In other words, if yes, if these guys are teachable, reachable, then we need to have compassion on them. So be merciful to those who doubt. So some will doubt, and you can go in there and instruct them better, reach them out, and they'll be okay. Then the next group here, so in the New King James it says, but others save with fear, pulling out of, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. The NIV and the ESV says, save them, save others by snatching them from the fire. So these are basically, these are hardcore unbelievers. Group one are, okay, they're doubters, but you can work with them. These, they're going to take a little bit more action. You're going to have to grab hold of them and pull them out. This is what we call tough love, because nobody really likes to do this. But if you don't intervene, then you've got problems. John Wesley used to say that he was a brand plucked out of the fire. That was his famous quote. And so here the plea is, hey guys, you have got to act. If you don't act, then the result is death. So snatch them out of that fire. Let's get going, guys. Now the third isn't mentioned in the New King James. If you actually look in your footnote, it will say a little, it says the best manuscripts have this, but the New King James doesn't have it. The NIV says, to others show mercy mixed with fear, and the ESV says, to others show mercy with fear. So these are apostates, and he's saying, show mercy to them. But then he goes on and he says, be careful, because you have to hate even their garments are defiled by flesh. So show mercy to them, but make sure that you hate their garments. Don't get so mixed up with them. And this is the idea from Leviticus of being unclean in that separation. There's all those, you know, there's quite a few chapters in Leviticus talking about the unclean people and the separation that they need to have. Message, I think, says this pretty well. Go easy on those who hesitate in faith. Go after those who take the wrong way. Be tender with sinners, but not soft on sin. So I think that sort of catches the three different ways. If you have, you know, for those doubt, have compassion. For others, snatch them out of a fire. And for others, be tender with sinners. So this concludes the sermon, and the practical application is this. Make sure you're building yourselves up. There is no magic secret holiness pill that you can pop in your mouth once a day or twice a day. This is going to take real hard work to build yourself up. Make sure you're building yourself up on that foundation of Christ. Pray. And then wait on the mercy of the Lord. And then for the others, that's what you should be doing. For others, you should have mercy on those who doubt. Snatch from fire the others and have mercy to the apostates. But don't get so close to them that you get corrupted by them. Hate even those garments. Shall we pray? Dear Lord God, we ask that we would build ourselves up in the faith. We ask that thou wouldst be with us to help us show mercy to others. But Lord, keep us from sin. In Jesus' name.